what a time will be when we see loved ones there, those who have gone before, eternal joys to share. And oh, what a song when the blood-washed throng starts singing a song the angels cannot sing. Oh, what a moment when we see Jesus, when we stand face to face in His embrace and thank Him for amazing grace. Oh, what a moment when we see Him.
Yeah, catch some breath.
Harvest will then be past, will no longer matter. Only what's done for Christ is all that will matter. The seeds we have sown will then be made known. What joy shall fill our raptured souls that day? Oh, what a moment when we see Jesus, when we stand face to face in His embrace and thank Him for amazing grace. Oh, what a moment when we see Him. Oh, what a moment when we see Him.
Well, it's a blessing to be here tonight. I'm going to turn this cordless mic like that. And Musical May, your pastor told me about that. I said, that's a great idea. I think I'm going to try this down at our church. And music is definitely a wonderful, wonderful subject to be challenged upon. Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll turn there. Man, I tell you, I told the pastor, we just enjoyed so much the guest house and staying there. And I know that there's a lot of you behind that, taking care of that home and feeding, putting food in and so forth. And that's the best part about it is all the food. I was so distracted last night, couldn't go to bed. I was just wanting to eat a little bit more and eat a little bit more and eat a little bit more. But I was thinking last night, I was typing some things up, and I said, Lord, these folks, they treat me and treat my family like we really are servants of the Most High God. And that's how I felt. I've been places before where I felt that they're trying to flatter me. And I've not felt that way. I felt like you are taking care of me because of who my father is your father as well. And I thank you for that. My wife and I really appreciate just the opportunity to get away for a day or two and take a rest and catch a nap and just relax and see the beautiful scenery. And that really is a great blessing. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I told you, Pastor, that I have never preached a message on music in my entire life. I've been preaching for nearly 18 years, and I never have one time preached a message on music. Isn't that terrible? And nonetheless, my wife will tell you that I've been a strong proponent of good music. I've sang music for years. I've studied music, watched videos of music. I've studied through Scripture, but for whatever reason, I've never preached on music. And this is the first sermon, and you're going to get it tonight, first sermon I've ever preached on music. And actually what I want to do is I want to give you my testimony of music and what I've come to understand about music over the years in my own personal life. If we can, let's start off with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you. I'm so thankful that you allow me the privilege to be your child, to be called your son, to be blood washed, be born again. And if that's not enough, I get to spend all eternity with you. I'm so excited about that. My Lord, I pray you'll forgive me for what I am. Psalms 103, you said that David spoke and said, Lord, remember our frame, we're just of dust. And Lord, I've not lived and earned anything that you've given me. I thank you, Lord, that this pastor's trusted me tonight. Let me stand and speak to his people. But Lord, my ability to speak is not really important at all. What's important is the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray tonight that your Spirit would take over this service as you promised. You said that when two or three are gathered in your name, I believe that's why they're here. Oh, maybe there's a few that are here not because they want to be here for you, but I think that's why they're here. You said you would be in the midst. My God, I can be a great orator, but if I have not the presence of your Spirit, it really is not going to amount to anything. We'd ask that your Spirit would minister to us in such a way that our hearts would be open, and that he in turn would take your word, and that he would bring conviction, that he bring change, bring comfort. We get up and leave tonight, walk out the back door and say, boy, it was good to be in the house of the Lord today. I love you and I thank you for being so good to me. In Jesus' name, amen. I was born and raised in West Virginia. I spent basically my whole life there. I gave a very small testimony to some of the kids today about my mother and father divorced when I was about a year old. And in the period of time, my mother, she was determined not to go the route of welfare and so forth, and was determined to earn a living. And even though we was poor, and somewhere along the way she married a feller, and this feller was a singer. He liked to sing country music. He played guitar. He was a drunkard. He would go down to bars two or three nights a week, and he'd play in the bars, and he'd come back home. And I became really fascinated by music and very fascinated by the whole idea of singing and so forth. And I'd wait up at nighttime in our little mobile home, and when he would come in the door, stagger in the door, I would sneak into the kitchen where he was at, and he and I would sit down by the kitchen table. I was probably 10 years old at this time, maybe 9 years old or so. And he pulled his guitar up, and he's half drunk, and I'd say, Ted, teach me a song. And Ted would take his guitar, and he would start playing the guitar and teach me songs. And then eventually he started teaching me a little bit about the guitar, which I never really, I never learned how to play the guitar, maybe one song or two songs. But the whole idea of singing country music, boy, it just captivated me. And I couldn't explain it to you then, but I think I'll be able to explain it to you tonight. And if you'll just listen carefully, I want to explain to you why music is such a vice for us today. And I started singing, and he came home and teach me a new song, and then another new song, and a new song. And of course, the country era that I was growing up in, that was the days when Barbara Mandrell was first coming on the scene, and George Jones, and Johnny Cash, and Hank Williams Sr., and what's the guy's name sang I'm Gonna Love You Forever and Ever, Amen? What was that guy's name? Nobody knows who that is. I'm just checking to see here. What was his name? Honey? Randy Travis. There you go. Some of you are good. I listen all the. Boy, I mean, I got to listen to him night and day, day and night, all the time. And by the time I was a young teenager, I had a dream in my heart. Boy, I had big dreams, big visions for my. I wasn't stopping short of anything. One day, when I'm an adult and I'm a grown person, I'm going to sing in a bar. That's a good dream, isn't it? Man, I had dreams of doing that. I'm going to sing in a bar, on top of stage. A bunch of drunkards out there, listen to me as I sing country music. And I enjoyed singing the country music. And I've still, to this day, it just rattles around in my brain. And I think of all these country songs that I used to listen to and sing and so forth. And I never had any interest for pop music. I never had any interest for rock and roll. I was camping out with my friends one day, one of them brought out AC/DC and started playing Highway to Hell and things of that sort. And I tell you, I laid there and, boy, chills were all over me. I thought, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. That's stuff bad. I don't like that. And I stayed away from that friend. Paul Alford was his name. And I never had anything to do with him after that because I didn't like that music. I said, something's not right about that music, but I like my country music. I like that a lot. Dolly Parton, The Coat of Many Colors, and all these different songs. Well, I mean, I'd listen to them, and I loved to sing that music. I got saved. And without a doubt, the biggest thing the Lord began to work on my heart about after I got saved was my music. I don't know this way with everybody else, but it wasn't me. I went through tremendous conviction about my music. I mean, I couldn't listen to that country music anymore. It just bothered me. David Knuckles, who was youth pastor in our church and was the one that got me in church, he said, "Marty, you need to get some new music like I did." Brother Knuckles played in a rock and roll band, and he got saved, and he said, "Here, I got a Christian band. We put together a group," and he made me some copies of Christian music, and I remember the day we lived in McNutt Avenue, and I stayed up in the attic. It literally was an attic, and I remember going up in that attic, and the attic was, we put just two or three planks down the rafters, and when you walked down the rafters, you had to walk like this, you know, because you couldn't stand up in the attic. And I gathered all of my country music together, and I went downstairs and out in the backyard, and we had a burn barrel, and I threw them all in there, and I lit it on fire and burned all my music up. And I mean, boy, I mean, tears, you know, you heard tears just flowing down my cheeks. Oh man, I just made a decision. I don't know if I want to follow through with. Then I went right back inside the house, took the tape that Brother Knuckles gave me, put it in the tape player, and I sat down in my bedroom, and I pushed the play music to it and began to listen to it. And I thought, man, this music is disgusting. I didn't like it at all. And it just wasn't country music, you know. And you listen to, I think there was some Howells tour group tapes on there, and then it was a group Brother Knuckles had. I sat there and listened to that music, and it was just all, just wasn't nothing to it, you know. It just, you know, somebody singing, Cadenland is just inside. And I thought, well, what is Cadenland in the first place? But what is, you know, I don't even get it. I like that good old country music, you know. And I like to hear that, you know. Boy, that's what I like, you know. There's an old flame burning in your eyes. Well, doesn't that just get a hold of you right there? I mean, I want to hear some of that good stuff like that. And you're listening to some lady sing about, you know, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? That didn't get me. I just didn't do anything for me at all. And so I came out of my bedroom. My mom said, what are you doing, Marty? And, of course, my mother wasn't in church. I'm not sure that she was even saved at this point. And I said, Mom, I'm listening to Christian music. My mom said, well, Marty, you know, you really don't have to listen to Christian music. But she, and I said, well, I don't like it. She said, well, you don't have to listen to it. And she said, here, come over here and listen to a song. My mom put a music tape in, or a song, and it was, do you want to go to heaven? And I said, yes. You ever heard that song? Anybody ever heard that one? A good country song. She said, see, that talks about heaven, going to heaven. Of course, it's a very filthy song, by the way, if you ever heard it. And I said, yeah, boy, I could listen to that, you know. And then it went on, and I found out the song was really a bad song. But I went back to my bedroom, and I says, no, I've got to listen to this kind of music. It's the right kind of music, and Brother Knuckles told me it's the kind of music I've got to listen to. And so I don't like it. I don't care for it. I don't want to listen to it, but it's the right kind of music. And I made a decision before God that I take my music and I throw it away. And so I threw music away, and I started listening to Christian music. And what happened is I listened to good Christian music that I didn't enjoy. I mean, I didn't enjoy it all. And I would try to enjoy it. And over a period of time, I started to maybe branch out a little bit into Southern Gospel. And I got into that. Went to some Southern Gospel concerts and so forth. And I found a music in Christian music that I did enjoy. But it was very fleshly. And I kind of stayed there for a while, and I went off to Bible college, and my wife and I were, Joe and I, of course, we weren't married at the time, but we were dating. And while we were having a date one night, she and I were just talking, and of course, she talked about her life, and I talked about my life type of thing, you know, getting to know each other. And she one day said, you know, Marty, I want to tell you, you're a very bitter person. You just can't hardly talk without talking about your past. You're very bitter. And I got real quiet. I didn't say a whole lot, and I didn't argue with her about it, because I tended to think that she was probably right. Our date was over, and I went home, and that night when I went home, I lived in Baptist City over at the college dorms, and I remember sitting in the room there thinking, am I really bitter? Now, I had been a Christian now for 7, 8 years, maybe, and I had never told the Lord one time that I loved Him. And it was on purpose. I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I worked a full-time job in high school. I never missed one church service. And I worked it so I was off on Wednesdays. I was a bus captain for all the time that I was in high school and junior high. I was a bus captain. I'd bring in 60, 70 kids every week. I was, you know, one pushing all the teens to go to the teen activity. I mean, and on the outside, I was the perfect kid. But I never told the Lord I loved Him. And I did that on purpose. I never told Him on purpose. As a teenager, somebody asked me one day, Marty, Jack Beaver. Did you know Jack Beaver? Jack Beaver was at our church. Goodness sake, that guy's a Russian. And he got me in the corner one day. Someone asked you a question. You love God? And I just him hauled around, you know, got my tongue all tied up and got real embarrassed and turned red in the face. And I remember going back. The farmhouse we were living at had the big old feather down mattresses, you know, and I crawled in that mattress. Have you ever slept in a feather down mattress? Boy, I mean, that mattress just wrapped around my whole body. And we were up on top of a mountain. That moon was shining through the window there. And I sat there for a little while, half an hour, hour or so, and I just thought about it. Do I really love God? And I determined that night, I don't know if I do. And so I'm not going to ever tell the Lord I love Him. In college, my wife said to me, she said, Marty, you're bitter. And so I went home and I began to pray about this matter. My childhood is not necessarily any more different than anybody else's. It's what it was to me. But nonetheless, it was personal. Nonetheless, it was hurtful. Nonetheless, there's a lot of trauma that was involved with it. I had a nervous breakdown at 10 years old. I saw a lot of abuse and drunkenness and moving and everything else. There's a lot of problems. And it seemed as though I sheltered it by just being optimistic and happy all the time and keeping everything on the inside and just waiting for the day when I could break out of home and leave and I never have to go back to that again. I could have my own life. But what really made me upset was that when I started going to church after I got saved, I was seeking for something. And when Jesus found me and He saved me and I started attending church, the chairman of the deacon board, his son there, was a good friend of mine, Calvin. And Calvin and I, we'd play together and do things and so forth. But Calvin didn't have a heart for God. Calvin didn't want to do right. And I'd sit and look at Calvin and then I'd go to the Lord and I'd say, Lord, I don't understand why. I'd give anything to have a home like that man has. And I reckon course years, I just got real bitter about it. Well, thank the Lord I got over that bitterness. Amen. I got so released from that bitterness that it actually, God touched me in such a way and helped me to understand. One night, just praying about it and reading the Scripture and just thinking about it and just pouring my heart out before God and saying, I want to be right with You. I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to be bitter. And God helped me understand something. He said, Marty, number one, you would have never gotten saved had you not grown up the way you did. Marty, you would have never surrendered your life to the ministry had you not grown up the way you did. Marty, had you not grown up the way you would have grown up, you wouldn't have walked the path, ended up in the college, you would have met your wife, you would not have been going the direction you're going now. So what Satan intended for evil, God used for good in your life. I got so excited about that. I went home on Christmas break and I went to try to find that one person who caused a lot of problems, my stepfather, a lot of problems in life, and I tried to find him. My mother begged me, said, don't you go near him. You know what he'll do if you go near him. I said, Mom, I've got to. I just want to tell him thank you. I feel so grateful. I feel so thankful. I was so bound by bitterness for so many years that I'm just so happy and so excited. I just want to find him and just thank him for just what, son? What? Before abusing? No, I don't know what it is. I just want to thank him. I'm just so excited that I grew up that way. I'm so happy about it. Incidentally, I began to tell the Lord I loved Him. Incidentally, I began to sing Christian music and it actually began to mean something to me. I mean, I could feel it all the way in my toes. And it didn't matter if I was singing it or if a little girl was singing it. It didn't matter who was singing it necessarily. It was just, if it was a good gospel song, well, I mean, it just tore me up. I'd sing, hear a song about, like I sang today, Oh, What a Moment. And boy, I'd listen to that song being sung, and I mean, tears would just well up in my eyes, and I'd just have tears trickling down my cheeks thinking, I thought, what's this? I've never had this happen before. I'd listen to a song like, The Old House I'm Living In Is Needing Repair. The windows and the shutters are letting in the cold, cold air. I say to myself, I'm going to fix it when I can get the time. But all I've been getting lately is leaving on my mind. Lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. I listen to songs and I mean, just something was happening. I don't know. I can't even explain it. I heard a preacher one time singing that song. he said, the things that I love and hold dear to my heart, they're just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my path. So remind me. Remind me, dear Lord, and roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember that I'm human and humans forget, so remind me. Remind me, dear Lord. I mean, I got to the point that when I would pray in the morning and read my Bible, that I started carrying the psalm book with me. And we'd be talking to the Lord. This never happened to me before. I'd be talking to the Lord and I'd say, Lord, I love you and I'm just so thankful to be saved and I'm so glad about how that I was raised. It got to be every day I was thanking the Lord for my past. And I'm just so excited about the future. And Lord, can I just sing you a song? And I'd get my song book open. I'd start singing the Lord a song. For 15 or 20 minutes, I just would sing a song to the Lord. And I'd walk away from prayer times. What's happened to me? This never happened to me before. And incidentally, that fleshly Christian music I used to listen to before, I got to where I didn't like it. All that synthetic and the showmanship and the all that carrying on and all of that, it got to be a distraction to me. I'd listen to these guys sing, and maybe for me it was Southern gospel music, and I'd listen to them sing, and boy, they're just up in the air and carrying on, singing high notes and carrying on and this, that, and the other, and they're doing encore and going on, and I think, I just don't like that. I felt like someone was blaspheming my relationship with God. And so one by one, I started throwing all my tapes away and of what was Christian music, and I threw more away and threw more away and threw more away and threw more away. I learned a few things from this, and I want to show you what I believe I learned from it. When I started youth pastor work in 92, I used to really push our kids to listen to the right kind of music. I hate rock and roll with passion. I can't stand it. Don't like this hip-hop, pop rock, rap music. Don't like that at all. Can't stand hate with a passion. And I used to always push our kids to listen to the right kind of music. And well, I reckon what I didn't understand is what I understand tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, if you look there, I want to show you just something real quick. And I've got a few points I want to make. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, and verse number 18, it says, And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Read the next phrase with me, please. Ready, begin. But be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse number 20, read the first phrase with me. Ready, begin. Giving thanks always for all things. Stop right there. You know, communication, or I said music, we've known that music is the highest form of communication. It has been used by communists. It has been used by marketers. It has been used by those ones who have endeavored to make money. Music has been used to change cultures. Music has been used to bring in perversion. Music has been used to train character. My friend, music, no doubt at all, is the highest form of communication there is. And by the way, that's why I encourage you. Get right kind of music. Encourage. We let our kids listen to Patch the Pirate and good songs all the time. And we make sure that it's good music because music communicates. It's the highest form of communication. Satan knows this. And of course, if you listen to Attitude of the Day, and you listen to Attitude of many preachers today, they'll say to you, music doesn't matter at all. It doesn't mean a whole lot. It just doesn't matter. And music is just what it is. It's just a culture. It's just a form of expression, whatever may be the case. And what they don't understand is that the father, the devil, my friend, the father of this world, he himself was the master musician, and he has done nothing more but be a Pied Piper over all the world through his music. Because it's communicated. He's communicated a message. Music is a tool that's used to communicate perversion. Music is a tool that's used to communicate drunkenness. Music is a tool that's used to, in turn, bring about this filthy and lewd style of dancing. Take the music away, there is nothing to dance to. Music is a very high level of communication. And we're very foolish if we don't realize that. Very foolish. But I also realize that music is a means, it's not an end. And that's where our society gets stubbed, because our society, music is its end. I mean, in our society, and I'm referring to Christian society as well as public society, their life, music is the end of their life. I'm out door knocking. You've been out door knocking before. You knock on the door. A guy comes to the door. He opens the door up. He lives in an apartment that he pays, you know, whatever amount of money. He drives a broken down car. He has a $1,000 stereo system or $2,000 stereo system in his car, possibly even more. I've heard $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. And then you look inside of his house, and it's just lined with CD after CD after CD after CD after CD. And on his hip pocket, he has a MP3 player. You know why? Because in society, music is an end. It's not a means. It's an end. God intended music to be a communication tool, but He also intended it to be the means. It helps us take us to. It's not where we stop. Today people worship music. They literally worship music. They got the posters of these thugs on their wall and these sluts and these whoremongers on their walls, hanging all over the walls, and parents let them do it because it's just an art. I'm sure it's not the case with any parents here, but you go outside of the walls of the church house and you walk down the street, Joe Blow lives down the street with his kids, you must understand that these parents are brain dead when it comes to the area of music. They don't know a jack split about music at all. Walk in the bedroom and you got these guys with 15 pounds of chains hanging around the neck and they're doing this kind of stuff like this, and they got pants hanging under the knees. And if they start singing, they sing some kind of rhythm and gets into sex and gets into perversion of all types and murdering your mother and fighting the police and everything else. But it's just music. That's all it is. It's not a big deal. You see, our society, they've taken music and they've made it an end, not a means. But what I've also seen about music is that music is an expression of your heart. It's an expression of your heart. Look with me in Matthew chapter 12, okay? I just want to just pose a problem, help you solve a problem in your life like I have been trying to solve a problem in my life for years. I was saved. I was on my way to heaven. I knew Jesus Christ. I was born again, so forth and so on. But why was it that I just couldn't enjoy good Christian music? Why wasn't that I just couldn't, like Brother Knuckles, I would watch him as he would play his violin and he would sing a song about amazing grace and it just get all teared up. Why was I not that way? Matthew chapter 12, verse number 34, it says here, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the, what does it say? Out of the what? Abundance of the heart, the what? mouth speaking. Back up here with me. Oh, generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Read it with me. Ready? Begin. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, Jesus Christ here is making very clear that what is in the heart is going to come out of the mouth. Would you agree with that? Amen? Come down here. Would you agree with that? Say amen. Okay? Look with me over in the book of James. James chapter number 3. James chapter and number 3. James chapter and number 3 says verse number 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Verse number 10, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place, read it with me, sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either vine figs, so can a fountain both yield salt water and fresh? It's interesting. Look in Psalms, if you will, back in the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 100. David, of course, is the writer of Psalms 100, and he has written a song. And the song starts off like this in verse number 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with what? Know ye that the Lord, He is good. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. He knows all the emphasis upon ownership here, okay? Verse number 4, enter into His gates with what? Help me out here. Enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving. And into His courts with what? And be what? Thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth all generation. And I was reading that passage, and I said, Lord, that's exactly what it was. I got saved, and all those years, as I was unsaved, I listened to country music for all those years. And listen, country music is a music that is written to the broken heart. You know, one man said, what do you get when you play country music backwards? Get your wife back, your job back, your car back, you know, you get your dog back, get everything back. And I started chronicling all the songs that I listened to, and I said, man, every song that I sang was about hurt and pain and sorrow and suffering and loss and abuse. It was all about that. And I realized the reason that I love country music was because that was what was in my heart. That was all I felt was hurt and pain and abuse. You know, a person that's in rock and roll, what's the theme of rock and roll music? Help me out. What is it? It's rebellion. I was never rebellious as a hardcore rebellious child. My mother beat everything out of me. I mean, my mother was terrible. And that's why my backside is so flat today, you know. But she was. My mother was, she was a good disciplinarian. And she really, you never backtalked her. I never one time backtalked my mother ever growing up, never at all. And she put instilled inside of me a desire to love her and to follow her. I never had a problem with rebellion. And I guess that's why when I was sitting in that camper that night and that fella turned on the Highway to Hell or whatever it was and I was listening to it, I guess that's why the music just it didn't attract me because it wasn't what was in my heart. It was an expression of me. My mother said, she used to say, Marty, you worry me. I said, why? She said, because I never can tell how you're doing. And still waters run deep. You know, you go through things and all of us have been there. And boy, you just get to a point to where you've got to draw a line and put up a face and put on the show and I walked around everywhere. I was happy, I smiled all the time, on top side, everything else, but inside, boy, I was hurt. It was broken. That's why I like country music. I love country music. I loved listening to it. You know why? Because it was what was in my heart. I got saved, and out of duty, I quit listening to it. Because I wanted to do right, I took all my music and threw it away. I listened to Christian music, and it didn't attract me at all. I didn't care for it. And finally, you're listening to something, and you don't really enjoy it. It's kind of like you know, eating something that you don't enjoy, and so you want to spice it up a little bit. And so I tried that. My wife loves sticky rice, and I cannot stand sticky rice. And she gives me sticky rice, and I'll put sweet and sour sauce on. I put soy sauce on it. I put ketchup on it, or I put something on it. I just don't like sticky rice. And so I started getting this Christian music, and what happened was I had to spice it up a little bit. And so I spiced it up with the background vocals, and I spiced it up with the showmanship, and I spiced it up with a little bit heavier rhythm and so forth. And today, you know, we had a fellow in our church who was full-blown CCM, you know, Christian contemporary music, and he and I would sit down. He's a nice man and a kind man, a respectable man and so forth, and we would have table talks, and I said, look, brother, that music is wrong. Oh, it's what I like and so forth, you know, but I didn't tell you that you were not going to be singing that in heaven, I promise you. That's not what's going to be in heaven. If I understand the scripture right, we're going to be singing songs kind of like this. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. My friend, doesn't that just get you going? That excites me. So we're not going to be singing this stuff like, I don't even know what they sing. The contemporary Christian music, that's effeminate Christian music. If you listen to that stuff, you know what you are. I don't want to say it, but that is wimpy, feminine. I mean, just I'd rather listen to country music or listen to rock and roll, listen to that trash. And so he and I have had discussions about that. And what I try to get him to understand that it's what is inside of your heart. It's an expression of your heart, and that's what's inside of you. And what was inside of me was hurt and pain and bitterness, and I had inside of me anger because of my past, and I couldn't let any of that go. And so I listened to Christian music, and they would sing, and I thought, I don't like it. And so I tended to lean toward a more fleshly Christian music. Thank the Lord for my wife who challenged me and about my bitterness. When I got my heart right with the Lord about it, I'm not saying it happens one time. I mean, it happens all the time. I mean, weekly. I don't hardly listen to music in the car anymore because I just kind of enjoy singing it myself. You know, not because I enjoy my singing. I just want to express myself to God. And I'm driving down the road, and I'll start singing a song like, there has never been a name like Jesus, reaching high and far than the highest star. Well, man, that just, woo! I'm about to wreck my car, you know. I'll be swerving all over the road. I'll sing something like, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same. Or a song like, Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And I'll get all excited. This happens, it's regular. It happens all the time. We have a missionary come, or a good friend of mine who's a preacher. Sometimes we'll travel somewhere together. We get in the car, we'll talk for 5 minutes. And I said, brother, let's sing. And we'll start singing. We were up here, went to brother Woodland, Everson. I was up at Brother Everson's church. I preached up there for a men's barbecue, and I brought the missionary with me, McCoy. Have you ever heard of McCoy? McCoy. And Brother McCoy and I drove up there, and we were on the way home in the car, and we just started singing. And our singing wasn't that great. You know, it wasn't. We were forgetting words, and we were not hitting all the notes right. And we were driving through Sacramento, and he and I both were just crying. And I was thinking, what is this? It's what's in my heart. You see, the application is real simple. Many of you, and a lot of good people, they want to listen to the right kind of music, but they just can't do it. Or they're not enjoying listening to the right kind of music. The thing about good, godly music, can I explain this to you? You'll never enjoy it until you have a heart of thankfulness. Ephesians chapter 5 says, speaking unto yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody unto the Lord, giving thanks. So a lot of you are just like me. You had a divorce and you're bitter over it. You had a job loss and you just stumbled on it. you had something happen in your life that you didn't expect, you know, cancer or something like that. Oh, you go to church and you serve the Lord and you listen to rock music, but you don't enjoy it, and you tend more and more and more just to lean toward the most fleshly Christian music you can find. I kind of feel like no one has put boundaries around me about music because my thankful heart regulates it. I'll go to conferences or so forth or whatever, and I'll sit there and boy, the singers will get up and start singing, and some, they'll sing something. I thought, oh, that just grieves me. I don't like that. A thankful heart. David said, come in His presence with singing. He talked about how that we are owned by Him. You know, the right of ownership means He has the right to do what He wants to do. Do you agree with that? What have you gone through? Until you make it right with God and you get a thankful heart before God, when you sit and sing a song like Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, it'll mean nothing to you. You know, you look out in the congregation and you'll see there's always somebody sitting there like this while the music's going on. I have a lady in our church named Vivian, and she got saved. Her grandpa was a preacher, Church of God. She was taught work salvation her whole life, and she miserably failed in her life because of work salvation. She came in our church, and after about 4 weeks, she got gloriously saved. She's about 55 years old, a career nurse. And Vivian can't sing. I mean, Vivian can't sing. I mean, Vivian cannot sing. When Vivian talks, she has an irritating voice when she just talks to you. Vivian, this is no lie. My wife will tell you the truth. When I'm leading the singing, Pat, she tells us, the pastor, I can't sing, so I won't sing. But you know what Vivian does? Vivian sits in a pew like this. And I asked her one day, why did you do that, Vivian? She said, because it's so much inside of me. She said, I can't keep it in. She said, can I at least just mimic the words? I said, well, that's fine. So you can sing if you want to. Clear out a whole space right there around you, you know. But so you can sing if you want to. You don't enjoy Christian music because you don't have a thankful heart. Just that simple. What is it you're not thankful about? Ask you about your heads, please. Father, I just pray that Your Spirit will minister to our hearts. And Lord, I don't know. I don't feel real adequate to talk about this issue of music at all. And all I felt that I could do is just explain the testimony of what's happened to me. And Lord, I pray that You would challenge our hearts. If I understand the Bible right, Lord, we're going to be singing a whole bunch in heaven. And I think music is going to be correct and proper. And I think it's going to be a part of our daily schedule. Just singing all the time. And I think also it's going to be natural. Something that we want to do. We're going to want to sing. And I kind of feel like, Lord, that even though I don't have my glorified body, I have You living inside of me, and that want to sing and that want to hear good music, it's in me already. And I reckon I suppress it with an unthankful heart because of life. And God, You help us understand it's a very, very important matter. Because to have a hard heart toward music is really to have a hard heart towards You. In Christ's name.